Proverbs 4. Turn over there. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. I have had the fortune. It's not fortune, it's faith. That's a wrong word. I have been obedient to the word of God. I have done diligently with God. I have not gone without accidents and things. There are things that have happened along the way. To my family, the little things, broken arm or whatever. But I'm 50 years old now, and I've never had a major surgery ever in my life. And the only minor surgery I had was tonsils, and my parents did that years ago. I have never had a major sickness in my life, none. I've never battled things like that. I have had a short stint of dealing with blood pressure, and we're receiving a miracle on that right now. I'm believing, and I'm standing, and God's doing it. There's a miracle, and I realize that my weight is a lot of the issue with my blood pressure. The Lord dealt with me. You lose the weight, Steve. Lose the weight, Steve. Lose the weight, Steve. Lose the weight, Steve. And I wasn't obedient, and because of that, I had a battle with my blood pressure. But at a certain point of my, every time I get to a certain level, if I'm at a 244 instead of 274, at 244, my blood pressure literally drops about 10 points. And every point after that, every 10 pounds after that, I mean, I just drop. At one point, when I was at 230 or 225, my blood pressure was 116 over 72. And it just dropped right down from a high of 200 over 140 something. But I've watched it drop. So it's definitely connected. My hypertension would be connected to my health. But I've just never experienced it. Our house doesn't have sickness in it. We just don't get sick. We have an occasional toothache, and we work on that. We believe God for that. And things that happen. And, you know, in my case, I'm just trying to tell you where I've been. When I was a little boy, my parents went to a dentist that was a fraud. Matter of fact, he ended up in jail because of it. And at about 13 years old, he filled five of my teeth with fillings that didn't need it. And my parents had made that mistake when I was little. The only teeth I've ever had problems with are the ones he filled. I've never had tooth problems. I mean, so those are those things that I'm talking about. I've lived in divine health, and I've done it this way. I've done it by what I want to teach you this morning. My parents had a strong belief in health and healing. They didn't know much about prosperity. We can get to that later. But when I came into the faith message and I began to hear it, it connected with me so well because my parents were faith people in the area of healing. My dad ended up in a bad situation, but it was his own design. It was his own doing. And he just could never come to the point to realize God had forgiven him and that God would heal him. And so because of that, he always felt guilty and lived in guilt over his own problem. And every time he'd go to get healed, he always felt like he caused it. It was his reason. He did it. And so he could just never get past that. He could never get past that with God. But my mother, on the other hand, up until she went on to be with the Lord, had lived in a healed state. She never really had sickness and disease. She had cancer one time, but Jesus healed her and took it out of her. It was gone. Healed her, miraculously healed her of what they had considered to be stage 3 or 4 cancer, and it just disappeared and dissolved out of her body. And this is how we did this. And I want to share with you that that's how God wants all of us to live. That's that every person in this room, no matter what your condition is right now, no matter what station you are, no matter what challenge you're in, and for those of us going through life, as we come to those moments of challenge, when we go to the doctor and he says there's something in the scan that doesn't look right, there's something there that's not quite exactly what we expected it to be, and we've had some of that even in the last couple of weeks. We had several people who had scans that they told them they were cancer, that they told them multiple times through multiple scans they were cancer, and then when they went to the doctor after we had prayed and believed God over them and laid hands on them and anointed them and believed in faith and prayed the prayer of faith, that they went back, did the biopsy, and of course they could find nothing. The cancers were gone and they were totally healed, and that's just happened in the last couple of weeks. And that's because the Word of God works. Amen. Look at somebody and say, the Word of God works. So I want to prepare you for not only what's in you, because you guys, you know, not only that, but you are at work every day. And you're standing next to people that have needs. I guarantee you, many of you have been standing in your cubicle or on your desk or at the counter or wherever you've been, and all of a sudden some friend came to tell you that their mother had cancer and was dying, or that a situation had occurred, that their kidneys were failing, or they were in the hospital or whatever. You know, this word that I'm giving you will not only work for you and your life, but it will work when you're in the marketplace. Because God doesn't just want you to be healed. He wants you to be a vessel of healing. If you understand healing, then God wants to use you as a vessel of healing. Now, somebody might say to me, I don't believe in healing for today. That's really a problem, because then you don't believe in Jesus. If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is, look at somebody and say, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he'll never change. If he was healing, he is healing. And if he is healing, he will ever be healing. You have to make him different. Well, they said, well, it was only during the time of the apostles. Don't you know, Pastor Steve, that Jesus only healed, it was only during, there was a special anointing to establish the church on the apostles, and that's all there is. And when the last apostle died, that ended healing. Well, your problem with that is the last apostle is not dead. If you want to claim the last apostle is dead, then you haven't read your Bible. The Bible says that Jesus is the apostle of our faith. The Bible called him the apostle of our faith. He is listed as the apostolic gift. He's an apostle. And so he stands in that gifting for us. And so healing can't be done away with, because Jesus is the same. Here's the problem. Here's what people need to understand. There wasn't a time of miracles. There's only a God of the miraculous. There wasn't just a time that God performed miracles. There's a God who is a miracle, a miracle-working God. And he works miracles today just like he did yesterday. And he works miracles. He'll continue to work miracles ongoing in our life forever. Matter of fact, salvation is the greatest miracle of all. If you don't believe in miracles, then you can't believe in salvation, because God takes what was not and creates something brand new. Old things pass away and all things become new. He said he changes us from glory to glory. So a miracle occurs for you to be saved. You're transitioned. You've been brought up with him, raised up together with him, and been made part of his body, been part of him. And so you have to understand, miracles continue on today. Healing is for today. And the first place you and I have to believe is we have to understand, listen to me, faith begins where the will of God is known. It is extremely important that you as a church and you in this room believe that God heals. But let me say it this way as well. He said he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's going to reward you. He rewards you with healing. He rewards you with life, an everlasting life. And so here's the thing you've got to understand. God wants you well. Look at somebody and say, God wants you well. God wants you healed. Say, God wants you healed. There's no question. There will never be a question about whether or not God wants you healed. But not everybody gets it. Why? Well, and according to the Word of God, Jesus has already healed you. According to the Word of God, healing belongs to you. It's the children's bread. According to the Word of God, by his stripes, you're healed. You were healed. What we really mean is that not everybody has it manifested in their life. Not that everybody doesn't get healed. We mean that not everybody has seen it manifest in their life. If you realize this, if you understand that, you have to understand that God wants you well, he wants you healed, and yet some have not seen a manifestation in their physical body, it does not mean that God has not or will not or did not heal. It means you hadn't got it yet. You got to separate those two, because you can't think God hasn't healed you and get healed. You got to believe you're healed. You got to believe that every day you get up, you're healed. Every moment the devil attacks your body, you're healed. Every time that sniffles come, you're healed. Every time a growth shows up on you, you're healed. Every time. I got up this morning and I stood in the mirror. I don't know what it was on my face, but there was something right here. It had gone, there was like a black dot, a strange black dot on my lip. I stood there and looked at that thing I shaved and it didn't come off. And I'm sitting there looking at this black dot on my face. Now realize I'm preaching on healing. I can tell you now, every time you preach on healing, I didn't even come to church last week until I got up to preach because I didn't want to hear none of the problems going on. I don't want to face none of the things because the devil will come out and he will attack and he will cause trouble in the church and cause fishy stuff to happen and do all kinds of stuff, because if he can keep you down and keep you bound by sickness and keep, then he can mess you over and mess you up. But when we come and start speaking to it, because you know something, spirits come to attack your body. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of powers, demonic forces. Let me tell you something, sickness ultimately comes from the devil. And when sickness comes to your body, you got to realize that the devil came to attack you, and the devil came to mess you up, and the devil came to destroy you, because the thief come to kill, destroy, and steal from you. But Jesus came that you might have life. When you start speaking life and you start dealing with health and you start speaking against spirits of sickness, the devil comes out of the woodwork and folks start getting all squirrely on you and stuff start happening, and then you end up with schism in the church and all the crazy stuff that goes on, and people don't even know the devil done got in their mind and got in their mouth, because God wants to heal them and he wants to trap them and keep them in the mess they're in. He wants to stop them from having babies, and he wants to stop them from getting tumors out of their body, and so he gets them all messed up and messed over and angry and upset and turned around and turned out over something and speaking bad stuff and having an attitude toward the man of God, having an attitude toward the church, and having upsetness and all this stuff, because he's robbing them of their faith, robbing them of their healing, robbing them, destroying. I don't know about nobody else, but I'm not going to let the devil steal nothing from me. He's not taking nothing from me. I ain't got time for the foolishness. I ain't got time to let an attitude get in me. I ain't got time to not forgive somebody. I ain't got time to fool with your foolishness. I ain't got time to mess around with your mess around. I just got to keep moving on. Sometimes you just got to turn folk out. Sometimes you just got to turn away from some folk. Some of that problem coming in your house and all that drama, 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 drama. All that drama, drama. You got to get away from that drama. You got to. That's the devil. God is not the author of confusion. He don't bring folks into confusion. When you see confusion rise up and all that stirring going on, and you see folks fighting against folks, you see stuff happening, all the bad attitudes, the Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion. So it can't be God that's authoring that mess. It can't be God that's stirring up that grief and that controversy. That's the devil. You got to get out of that. You say, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to walk in love. I'm not going to let hate and dissimulation and discouragement. You got to walk in the Spirit. For they that walk after the Spirit won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You got to get out of that mess. Change your thinking. Change your mentality. Change how you operate. Change how you walk. Change how you talk. Don't stay in the same old, and expect something different. You got to change what you're doing. I've seen the devil mess folks up. They get all messed up in their mind. I've seen it. And over the years would go by, and maybe they overcame it. They left churches over stuff, and they got upset because their family was upset, and blah, blah, blah. If you don't fix that, if you hang around here, as good as this is, the devil will make sure to hit you where he hit you before. And where you fell out last time, he'll work on it so you'll fall out this time. You better fix what got you out last time so it don't get you out this time. You better fix what held you back last time so it don't hold you back this time. You better fix it, because the devil doesn't have no new tricks. He doesn't come with something brand new. He comes with the same old stuff. And every time something happens in your family, you got to get mad, got to get upset, got to get up frustrated. That's the devil comes every time. He finds a way to make controversy. He finds a way to dig up trouble. He finds a way to unearth the old snake in the. You ain't hearing what I'm saying. Somebody ought to be shouting here. I'm trying to help you right now. I'm trying to help you right now. Because you'll open yourself up to the enemy. You'll open yourself up to sickness. You'll stop the blessings of God in your life. Tell the devil no. I walk in this building sometimes and I'm so distracted I don't even know what's going on. It ain't because I just get busy. And I'll walk by people, sometimes don't say the name. They'll shake the hand, and then they get mad. They'll say, oh, he must be upset. I wonder what I did. I didn't even know you were there. No offense. I just ain't thinking about y'all all the time. There's over 1,000 people attend this church on Sunday. Right. I ain't thought about you all day.
That's right.
You ain't on my mind. Unless God brings you up and has me pray for you, I ain't. I pray a general prayer over this church, and I pray for each of you in that way, and I stand for the people in the church and all those things. And occasionally God brings somebody directly up in my heart, and I'll pray for them individually. But I don't sit around thinking about what y'all did and what you didn't do and how you did it and how you didn't do it and all that stuff. I got three kids in sports. I got a swimming pool, 3 dogs, 2 cats, and 2 ducks. I got 3 rabbits. I got a pond. I mow my own grass. I take care of my own car. I ain't got time for your foolishness. I'm just telling you the truth. I ain't got time for it. I'm not crying with you. You want to sulk and be all depressed and have everybody, I mean, this is nothing. Put a smile on your face. For goodness sake, when you come to the house of God, put a smile on your face. Stop coming in here like you want everybody to pat you on the back and rub you down. Oh, how you doing? I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. Can I pray with you? Pray for yourself. He said, if any among you are afflicted, let him call for the elders. They'll lay hands on him, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. But if you need to get, if you're going through something, pray for yourself. That's what it said. Pray for yourself. I don't need everybody to come lay hands on me. I don't need you to tell me how sorry you are for me. I ain't never seen a football coach that was a winning coach loving on the kids. Ain't none of y'all get mad at the football game when the coach yells at your kid. No, I'm just preaching real good. Ain't none of y'all going on the field. I'll tell you what right now, son. You ain't talking to my boy like that. If he don't want to get down, he ain't getting down. What you want him to hold his legs up for 2 minutes for? What's wrong with you? Don't you know he didn't have his Wheaties this morning? They yell at your kids, push your kid to the max, have him running laps, talk bad to him. And y'all are like, get him, Coach Joe. Get him. I've been telling him he needed to get ready. I told him he needed to run that track. Oh, y'all know I'm right. You know I'm telling the truth. We come in church. We all, Shandai with my heart. Art thou okay today? How doth thou feelest? Art thou in need of my support and love? Ridiculous. We need to hear the word of God. We need to hear, get up. Stand up. He said, cast down every vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. When I walk by and don't talk to you, and the devil says, he don't like you. Look up and look down. Look up. We're really what you need. Look at your shoe. The Bible says he's under my feet. Shut up! I'm preaching real good. I'm telling you, you've got to combat the devil. And if you let him steal your life, he'll steal your joy, he'll steal your zeal, he'll steal your energy, he'll steal your excitement, he'll steal your passion, he'll steal your drive, he'll steal your ambition, he'll steal your future and your destiny. Don't let him do it! I like that. Somebody just yelled out, he's a liar. And he is a liar. You make up your mind, you're going to be a vessel in God's hand. You're going to be a tool in God's hand. You're going to be the righteousness of God in Christ. I really don't care if you like me. I done got way past whether you like me or not. Well, you don't have to. I love you. I'm just kidding. I like being loved, though. I do. I'm pretty confident in what's in me. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. If we know that he hears us, then we know we have the petitions we've desired of the Lord. When I stand in the mirror, I don't hear your voices. I don't hear somebody talking about me. I don't hear the news media. I hear the word. The word said I was beautifully and wonderfully created. The word said I was the apple of God's eye. The word said I'm the head and not the tail. The word said I'm above and not beneath. The word said that I was blessed in the city and blessed in the field. The word of God said I was blessed coming in and I was going to be blessed going out. The word said it. The word said I'm over only, over only. I don't need you to pat me on the back. I don't need your acclamation. I don't need you to tell me how good I did. I don't need you to say, great preaching. I like it. And you're welcome to do it. Please do. However, I'm going to preach because that's what God called me to do. And whatever God called you to do, why would you let the devil pull you from the plan? Proverbs says this, my son, attend to my words. Attend, now listen to me. Some of you in here need, in need of dire healing. Dire. Some of you are going to be in need of healing, you don't even know it. Some of you have already walked through healing, some of you have family members need healing. All this we know. If you don't do what I say today, then all you have remaining is the miraculous supernatural power of a gift to happen in your life. And that is not as anyone else's will, but his. He says, as he wills. The only way you would receive from God is either by faith or by his divine grace and mercy. You understand what I'm saying? That would mean that you would have to be where the gift was. That would mean that you would have to attend yourself to the gift. You'd have to be traveling around trying to find the gift. You understand what I'm trying to say? Or you'd have to be at the right spot at the right time, like the man by the pool of Siloam. He was at the right place at the right time. The chance manifestation of where the miracle is, where the gift exists. However, it would be better to apply faith, which is always current, always capable, and always available.
That's right. Amen.
Does anybody understand what I'm saying? God is always all everywhere. I get that. But for you to receive manifestation, it requires either faith totally or faith and a gift, because faith would be where the gift is. So at the very least, it's going to require faith. But do you have faith for your healing? Now, I'm going to give you some keys. Here it is. Listen to it. He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear into my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Now, the original text here, or some other, you might have a reference Bible. In the reference section of your Bible, you're going to see that word health there means medicine. Medicine. Let me read it to you. Wait a second. For his words are life unto those that find them and medicine to all their flesh. The word of God is the medicine you need for your miracle. The word of God is the medicine you will always need for your healing and health in your body. The word of God, whatever it is. There also has to be a desire to be healed. If you get to the place where you're okay with it, you'll keep it. If wearing a diaper is all right for you, ain't nobody shouting, and you're okay with it, and you've come to the point where you've come to grips with it, and you've accepted that, and you're not working to get the diaper off, you'll keep the diaper. I'm preaching real good. He said they're medicine. The word of God is medicine to your flesh. Look at somebody and say, the word of God, is medicine. God is interested in healing all of us, all those that are sick. God is interested in keeping us well. All of those, all of us. He wants to keep us well. He's also wanting to bless our lives, and he does that through his word. So what are the provisions? What are our rights? What are we actually, what actually belongs to us? How can we ascertain what belongs to us? And here's the key. There is only one way, and that is to constantly, carefully, diligently, reverently, prayerfully, and full of study the word of God. I'm not talking about casual. I'm not talking about a casual relationship with God or a casual wanting it. Casually, you want to get healed. I'm talking about you get to the point, like a dog after a bone, that you become so engaged in your healing that you go after the word constantly, carefully, diligently, reverently, and prayerfully, that you will study and get the word of God about your healing, because the word is medicine. God prescribes health in his word. He says this, my words are life to those that find them. This is a discovery. That word find means something more than just glazed over. You've heard me this morning. I believe in preaching from the Bible. I quote scriptures throughout my entire message because I get tired of hearing about wrestling stories and all that. I get tired of all that. We ought to give people the word and not just our feelings and our, you know, blah, blah. Come on, somebody. And we ought to meet it out correctly, at least the best we possibly can. But he said to those that find them, there's a discovery. It's not just a glazed over casual experience. It's healing and life to those that find them. There's a discovery inside of the word of God for everything that you need. Nothing is missing. Your healing is in that book. Your marriage is in that book. Your children are in that book. And we find him in that book. We find that word for us. And they're medicine to all of our flesh. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. Medicine, even in the natural, does us no good unless we take it. If the doctor prescribed medication to you and you had it in your hand, it was available to you, you got it. But it sat on the bedside and it sat on your dresser next to you and you never opened the bottle and took the pill, you could have it. You could read the label. Nobody's getting what I'm saying. You gotta take it. You gotta take it. It won't work because you read it. It doesn't work because you have a Bible. I got a Bible, Pastor. It doesn't work because you've even memorized a few scriptures. It won't work because you say, I believe the Bible is so. It won't work because you say, I believe in the inspiration of the word. It will only work when it gets inside of you and into your heart. That's a mouthful. Some folks got the head healing, but they ain't got the heart healing. I know he wants me healed. And then you go pray for them and you lay hands on them and say, do you believe God healed you? I hope so. I sure hope so. I hope he healed me. Then you don't have it in your heart. You have it here, but you don't have it here. That's why the Bible says, thy word have I hidden in my heart. The way you do that is by reading it. Not just reading it and forgetting it. It's by thinking upon it. It's by meditating upon it. It's by feeding upon it until it becomes part of your inward man. I have never sat down. I maybe when I was a kid memorized a psalm or something. I don't even remember the ones that I memorized. But I have never sat down with the Bible and memorized scripture. Never. Never. And yet, as you hear me preach and hear me talk, I am quoting scripture, quoting scripture, quoting scripture, quoting scripture, because my scriptural knowledge is my life, not my brain. I live it. It's what I live. It's not what I memorized. It's how I live. It has become marrow to me. It's become sustenance to me. The Bible says it's engrafted word. When I lived in Florida, they would graft trees on top of each other. They would take some hardy stock like a lemon that was good with weather, and they would plant the roots with lemons. And then they'd take a grapefruit which wasn't good with weather, and they'd graft it on top of this lemon stock. And before long, you'd see a little bump, but you couldn't tell where the lemon tree stopped and the grapefruit tree began. They became one and the same tree. And the fact was that the grapefruit tree could not have survived the winter weathers like the lemon tree. But because the lemon tree could, and the grafting caused the grapefruit tree to receive all of its sustenance, all of its nutrients, all of its life came from the lemon tree, it survives the weather. You see, the Word of God says it's grafted or engrafted. You need to get to the point where the Word of God is what you live on. It's what you breathe on. It's how you sustain your life. It's not just something that's you tacked it to yourself or you stapled it to you. It's something that you grafted to you. The Word of God is not meant to be something that's used as a momentary fix. It's meant to be in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. It's not just to be, you know, added to us occasionally. It's to be with us always. I don't think anybody got what I just said. God wants us to grow. I want you to write this down. Here's the prescription. Here it is. You ready? I'm going to give you a prescription. Are you ready? Number one, He said, "My son, attend to my words." Number one, my son, attend to my words. God wants us to grow up spiritually. He has provided the means whereby we can grow up spiritually. Listen to what the Holy Spirit said through Peter. He said in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you can grow by it. My son, attend to my words. Attend to my words. Attend to my words. God wants His children to spiritually grow. It would be a really sad statement for a born-again believer to have walked with God for 30 years and be exactly like they were when they got saved. We have that, you know. Never got any further. Never went any further with God. Same as they were. No depth. No longing for God. But thank God we can walk with God. We can walk in His Word. We can have His Word become more real to us than it was last year. We can learn to pray until our prayers can be more effective this year than they were last year. Our faith can be greater this year than it was last year. God can be more real to us today than He was last year. He will be. He'll do exactly what He said. He said, my son, attend to my words. Matthew 4:4 says, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He means to attend to His word means put God's word first. Give God's word undivided attention. Other things out, my word in. That's what that means. Number two, incline thine ear to my sayings. That means open your ears to what God is saying. Open your ears to God's word. Incline your ears to the sayings of God. Open your ears to what God has to say. Somebody said, I don't understand it, Pastor Steve. God didn't ask you to understand it. He just asked you to believe it. That's a good statement. I don't understand all there is about regeneration, rebirth, and renewance. I don't understand how old things pass away and new things become. I don't understand it, but I believe it. I don't have to understand it. I just have to believe it. That's the reason God said, attend to His word. He said to have it before your ears. Hear His word. Let your incline thine ear to God, because you could have spiritual renewal through that. He said, put God's word first. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, it is our hearing that allows us to build the faith necessary for us to have the healing and manifestation of God in our life. If you want a healing manifestation, you can't come here at once every blue moon. When the word of God gains entrance into your heart, it becomes an entrance of faith. Faith will be there automatically. You won't have to seek. You won't have to search. There will be no effort on your part. Faith will come unconsciously into your spirit as you feed upon and accept God's word. Church matters. And what you hear matters. If you never hear about healing, you won't believe it. If you never hear about these things, you won't believe them. Faith comes by hearing. If you sit in a church that doesn't believe this, you won't believe it. It's the truth. All right, I'm almost done. I need to finish. Let me give you number three. I won't go through it. Number three, let my words not depart from thine eyes. Here he tells us not only are we to listen to it, but we're to let it depart, not depart from our eyes. Now, this is what this is actually saying. It's talking about how you see yourself. Let not my words depart from your eyes. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as the word says? Because if the word is constantly in your eyes, it clouds you from what is natural reality. Let my word, see if the word of God, which says by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, is what is in front of you, it stands between you and the mirror. Or it becomes the mirror. The word of God becomes the mirror that you reflect your life on. When you look and you see cripple, the word of God says you're not crippled. And if you look through the mirror of God's word, you no longer see cripple. You see God's word. It has to be constant in front of you. Every diagnosis, the word has to be in front of you. You have to see yourself, your circumstance, your situation through the word of God. It has to become the mirror. It has to become the mirror. That's why when you hear a doctor's report, if the word of God is your mirror, and the word of God has prescribed a perfect person, and the word of God, here's the mirror, the word of God is your mirror. You're looking in that mirror, and you hear the doctor say, you have 10% of your heart. The mirror of God's word says, that's not true. That's not true. I see a whole heart. You got to keep it in your eyes. And lastly, you got to keep them in the midst of your heart. This is what I just read to you from Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. You got to keep the word in your heart. This means that it's at the very core of your being, in your spirit, in your inner man. So it's what you hear, it's what you see, it's what you've inclined your attention to, and it's what's in your heart. It's what you hear, it's what you've inclined your attention to, it's what you see, it's what you hear, it's what's in your heart. There's your prescription. Those four things have to occur for you to have the results. For life, it's life. The word is life. Not just that you have heard it, but that the four things I just told you are occurring in your life. You've inclined yourself to God. You've placed yourself in position to hear. You've seen it with your eyes, and you received it in your heart. When you do those four things, it's not just a casual, I get healed. This is serious. This is taking the word of God serious. I mean real business here. We're taking real serious ownership of the word of God, of my condition. It's my position. It is up to me. It's up to me to be healed. It's up to me to receive what God said. It is up to me. That's why it bothers me when these preachers make it sound like it's all God. Folks, it's not all God. Because God has done everything he's ever going to do. Do you understand there's nothing else for Jesus to do? Jesus said, it is finished. When he finished his work on the cross, nothing else needs to be accomplished. He's not going to heal you. Not according to the Bible. He's not going. He's going to heal me. He's not going to heal you. He already did. You're going to receive it. You're going to receive it. I'm receiving my healing. If you continue to wait for God to heal you and think somehow he's going to come and heal you, the Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. He did everything necessary for you to be saved, healed, and blessed. Yes. Cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree, that the blessings of Abraham may come upon us. That's what he said. He took sin, sickness, and poverty in his own body. He bore it in his own body, that you and I don't have to bear it ever again. It may come, but it cannot stay. It cannot stay. Because the Christian believer walks in a newness of life. Old things passed away. All things become new. The Bible says, when I do these four things, when I incline my ear, when I hear constantly, when I keep them in front of my eyes and I put them in my heart, they will be life unto those that find them. And health, medicine to all their flesh. If you want God's medicine, I just gave you the prescription how to take it. The word is the medicine. Now you know the dose. Now you know the day. Now you know how many times a day. Now you know how many milligrams. Does anybody hear what I'm trying to say? I'm not one that likes to live from miracle to miracle. Or from, you know, yeah, see, I blessings to blessings. I'm not one that wants to be healed every 5 minutes. I'm glad he heals me. And I'm glad for these prosperity miracles. I'm glad for all that. But I have decided, here's what I've decided. I'm going to live divinely healthy. I'm going to live in divine health. And I'm not going to live from catastrophe to catastrophe, like you said, from blessing to blessing. So I've decided to live prosperous.